So good to see everybody here today, this morning. Fall is in the air, and so is the love of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're visiting with us, we want to welcome you this morning, and we would love it if you took out one of those cards that you see in front of you. You can fill that out, and there are two boxes there in the back of the auditorium that you can place those, or you can give that to me on your way out. That's just so we can get to know you, you can get to know us, and we can express our appreciation for you being here with us this morning. There was once a father who decided to build a woodshed in the family's backyard. As he was working, his five-year-old son came running out of the house and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, may I help you?" Of course, the father didn't need the boy's help. He could have completed the task perfectly on his own. But yet, out of love for his son, he picked him up where the boy couldn't reach and let him hammer in some of the nails on the side panels of the woodshed. The father in this story, he didn't need the boy to accomplish the work, but he allowed the boy to participate with him in building the woodshed. When we open up the pages of the Bible and we read God's word, we see within the pages of Scripture that prayer works the same way. God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us to accomplish His will or His work or His purposes in the world. But because of His love and because of His grace, He allows us to participate in His mighty work in the world in a most crucial way through our humble, spirit-impoverished prayers. And as we continue talking about God's unstoppable church in this series, this is what the unstoppable church of Jesus Christ believes down to the core of its soul, that it participates with God in the advancement of the kingdom through prayer. Notice with me these verses. First, in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer. Likewise, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Likewise, in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They devoted, which carries a lot of weight in the original Greek, they devoted themselves to this persistent, bold, and courageous prayer because they firmly believed that Christ's blessed gospel, His good news, spreads out into the world via the prayers of the saints. And the true is same for us today in our world, living in the 21st century. However, when our prayers cease, when we fall into the trap of believing that our humble petitions to God have little value, or if our prayers become robotic, mechanical utterances which emanate from our sheer obligation to religious ritual and are completely detached from a spirit that stands in awe at the almighty presence of God, then we shouldn't be surprised in the least that the unstoppable church with the unstoppable message also ceases to have any impact in its surrounding community. The unstoppable church is a congregation of people who are sincerely and genuinely devoted to prayer. So, this morning, we're going to open up the book of Colossians, as Andy read for us a moment ago, in chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and see what Paul instructs the unstoppable church to do concerning prayer. Now, first, before we look at chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, I want to back up and look at chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, because we see the bigger picture, the context of what Paul specifically says in chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, if we back up and look at chapter 3. Look with me, first of all, at chapter 3, starting in verse 9. Paul says, "Do not lie to one another," in verse 9, chapter 3, "seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul tells us that if we have died to our old self and have experienced this spiritual resurrection through the Spirit with Christ in baptism, then we have put on this new self. This new self is essentially a new kind of humanity, a new way to be human, which is dissimilar in nature to that of the old self. It's a new way to be a human being, living and loving under the reign of Jesus Christ. And he says he exhorts many different applications of what it means to be this new kind of human, this new self. Jesus' new humanity puts on compassionate hearts, he says, kindness, humility, meekness, patience with brothers and sisters, and pursues reconciliation and forgiveness when relationships become damaged, verse 12 through 13. Jesus' new humanity, Jesus' new kind of human beings live with a spirit of continual thanksgiving because they possess this kind of spiritual sight of what God has done and continues to do for them through Jesus Christ. Jesus' new humans submit to their husbands, like he says later in the chapter. They love their wives and are not harsh with them. They obey their parents. They don't provoke their children to wrath. They obey their earthly masters, as he says. Now, when we get to chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, the same idea continues. We see that Jesus' new humanity continually and steadfastly speaks the language of prayer without ceasing. Jesus' new people are a group of people that have this vision of unlimited accessibility to the Father. They rightly visualize Jesus Christ as their mediating high priest, seated at the right hand of God, communicating their requests, their cares, their concerns, their praises, and their sorrows in a perfect way to the ear of God. They envision the Spirit of God as their helper in prayer, who helps them pray according to the will of God when their weakness hinders them from doing so. That's what putting on the new self means. It means to become a people who never cut that line of communication off with the Father or view it just as a mere ritualistic duty. But rather, it means to become a people who see their access to the Father as their very source of life, their very source of healing and of growth. It means to sincerely believe that we are participating in the most important work in the world when we bend our knee and bow our head in prayer to the Father. What a privilege that we have as Christians, and what a joy that a right understanding of prayer brings. Now, that's the backdrop of our text today. Jesus' unstoppable church, his new humanity, those who have put on the new self, is a church that participates with God and his work in the world through their prayers. Now, in our text this morning, Paul instructs the Colossians and us today to embrace three attitudes as we pray in our prayer so that the church may persist in being an unstoppable force for Jesus in the world and in the community. So this morning we are going to look at those three attitudes that should accompany our prayer life as we attempt to be the unstoppable church of Jesus Christ. Number one, the first attitude that all of us should embrace within our prayers is an attitude of steadfastness. Look with me in Colossians chapter 4, the first part of verse 2. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, there are two general ideas that Paul alludes to here when he exhorts us to continue steadfastly in prayer. Two general basic things that he's trying to get across when he says continue steadfastly in prayer. The first idea has to do with a God consciousness, a devoted mindset that places awareness of God, of His workings, of His being front and center. It's the idea of just having God in the front of your mind so that no matter what happens, instantly you respond by taking it to God. And you have someone you would talk to him and all of a sudden he would just stop talking and lean back and act almost like he was in a trance, or he would zone out at times. And then you would ask him, what's wrong with you? Like, what are you doing? And he would look at you and say, oh, I'm sorry, I was just praying. When Paul tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer, what he means is for us to be so aware, so God conscious, so aware of the presence of God in our lives that when we see a good thing, our automatic, natural response is to bring it to Him, to thank Him, to approach His throne of grace. And likewise, when we see a bad thing, our immediate response, our natural response is to plead with Him, to intervene in this scenario. To be steadfast in prayer is to be so God aware that my heart's knee-jerk reaction is to approach Him, to draw before Him, to come in His presence in every and all circumstances. That's the first idea that Paul is trying to get across when he tells us to be steadfast in prayer. And that's the attitude that the unstoppable church has concerning prayer. Now, the second idea that Paul is getting across when he makes this remark that he alludes to here is the idea of persistence. Not only are we to embrace a God-conscious attitude which urges me to approach Him, but a persistent, a bold and courageous attitude that keeps on approaching, that keeps on asking, keeps on seeking, keeps on knocking. In many ancient kingdoms, one would be executed on the spot if they approached the king, the monarch, uninvited. However, that's not the way that our God responds to His children when they're in a right relationship with Him. The Bible teaches that we have been so blessed through Jesus, we've been so blessed that we have the blessing to approach the Father without even a hint of hesitation, but with full and complete confidence that He will hear us and that He will give us what is best. Notice what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. With confidence, draw near to that throne of grace. That's the gift that you have in Jesus Christ, to approach the King of the universe, the King of everything that you see around you, without hesitation, unlimited access to that King. And that confidence is yours in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, pray without ceasing. And in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, and a parable following it, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Sometimes I think that we think that we're bothering God with our silly little pleas, our silly little petitions that seem irrelevant in the grand scheme of things, but we as a body of believers must remember that Jesus Christ died so that that line of communication that you have between you and God may stay open 24/7 and may not be disrupted. Now, that's the attitude of the unstoppable church in prayer. It is God aware, God conscious, places God at the forefront of its mind, and persistently, boldly, and courageously approaches his throne of grace because it has been given unlimited access through Jesus Christ. That's the idea that Paul has when he tells us to continue steadfastly in prayer. Now let's look at the second attitude that Paul talks about concerning prayer. He says for us to be watchful. Look in the second part of verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4. He says, being watchful in it. That is prayer. Being watchful in prayer. Now, being watchful means to be vigilant, to be alert, to be awake, like a guard or a sentry that's watching, scoping out the horizon for any threat from the enemy, knowing that his job to stay awake and watch is a matter of life and death, not only for him, but for his entire army, for his entire camp. Paul is saying through this exhortation that prayer is very serious business. It's not just to be used. Prayer isn't just to be used like a domesticated kind of intercom, but rather a wartime radio, because the stakes are high. Heaven and hell hang in the balance for so many, and our main line of defense and offense is our urgent petitions to the Father. Notice with me what Jesus says concerning prayer in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 through 38. Jesus says in verse 37, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray earnestly, here rendered in the ESV, rendered in English, is the Greek verb deomai. It doesn't refer to a casual kind of request, but it rather refers to a dramatic plea for help and intervention from a power that's greater than itself. It's a kind of plea that's made from one in a desperate and dire situation. Notice with me how Luke uses that same verb in his gospel account in chapter 5, verse 12. Luke chapter 5, verse 12 says, while he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Begged in this passage is the same deomai used in Matthew 9. The point that Jesus is getting across to us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, like we read a moment ago, is that our attitude in prayer should be one of urgency, should be one of the utmost seriousness, like a leper who falls on his face and begs to the Lord to make him clean. So should we, as the unstoppable church, earnestly pray to the Father that his mighty will might be done, because there is much at stake. However, the serious attitude that we are to embrace in prayer isn't to burden us with more anxiety and more stress in our life. That's not the idea that Paul's getting at. So sometimes life can be so filled with drama and turmoil and pain that we might feel like we're going to burst if you throw one more serious natured thing in the midst of all of it. The serious attitude that we are to have in prayer isn't intended to discourage us or knock us off our rocker. Notice what Paul says next in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the last part of verse 2. The last attitude here. He says, being watchful in it, that is prayer, with thanksgiving. with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is, of course, the third attitude here, which Paul instructs the unstoppable church to pray with. Sincere gratitude, and we know this to be true, sincere gratitude, thankfulness are responses from a heart that has experienced joy due to some kind of gracious gift that it's been given. God desires you to take prayer with absolute seriousness and urgency. But prayer is also intended to be a joy-filled action as we see and savor Jesus Christ and everything that He has done for us in our lives. And personally, I can say that the more I draw near to Christ, the more I know Him, the more I see His beauty and His majesty, the more that prayer becomes a joy for me. My heart's natural response is to speak with this God as I view his gracious and kind character, everything that he's done for me, all that He is, and everything that He continues to do for me. Prayer is nothing but a joy as we draw deeper into the heart of Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of attitude that the Christian has and grows in throughout their Christian experience. One that's joy-filled because our eyes and our hearts are fixated on Jesus and all that He is and all that He has done for us. And it's with those three attitudes that the church prays for doors to be open so that the good news may infiltrate the hearts and minds of those in the world. Notice as we close what Paul says in verse 3 of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ." With those three attitudes, with an attitude of steadfastness, with an attitude of watchfulness, with an attitude of joyful thanksgiving, our exhortation from God Himself is to pray that doors might be opened so that the good news can be infiltrated into the lives, the hearts and minds of those that don't know Jesus Christ. My simple message to you this morning, and it's not my message, it's the Lord's, is to embrace this kind of prayer nature and pray for the good news to be spread with these kinds of attitudes. The Unstoppable Church is one that participates in the greatest work in the world when it prays. As we become more of a people together who pray that hearts and minds may be open to receiving the good news with these three attitudes, with an attitude of steadfastness, with an attitude of watchfulness and thanksgiving, God will use our humble prayers to accomplish something unimaginable if we have faith to believe. If you have any need this morning, if you need prayers from the church, or if you're hurting in any way, or if you don't have Jesus Christ and you know that you're lost this morning, you have an opportunity to repent of your sins, to come forward and confess your faith in Jesus and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins and know the joy that the Lord brings. If you have any need this morning, why don't you come as we stand and as we sing?